Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow, no matter what. This is your host, Greg Carter, and this is episode number 13. Today's main topic is going to be, what is modern off-grid living, and why is it considered so weird? I don't know if you've figured this out yet, but a lot of my blog posts and podcast episodes are based on conversations that I've had either in person or online. And there's an event coming up November 9th. It's going to be, I think it's 10 days long, called Beyond Off-Grid. It's an online summit where you can watch all the instruction the day of the event each day for 24 hours absolutely free. The only time that you're expected to pay anything is if you want access to the information after the event or the time frame's over. And they've got different price structures and all of that. And this is something that I'm really interested in. They've got some people that I have a lot of respect for that are presenters. And I've signed up and I've started telling people about it. Okay. If you're interested, you can go to theruraleconomist.com and the information will be there and it will be in conjunction with this podcast and blog post. Well, I was talking to somebody about it, and they kind of laughed. They said, how can it be both off-grid and online? And we had a big, long conversation. Now, whenever I have a conversation with anybody, if they, you know, have questions about something or they don't understand something, then that automatically triggers in my mind, if they have questions or if they don't understand, then that means that there are other people that have questions and don't understand as well. So it goes on my list of things to cover. My list is growing. I am so thankful. The first time in history, I think I've got 30 topics in line right now that I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to arrange them. So, you know, we're not showing any signs of slowing down anytime soon. But this one, in conjunction with the Beyond Off-Grid Summit, I thought this was a good time to throw it at the front of the line, go ahead and cover it, and tell you kind of my thoughts and kind of have, say, a primer. I'm not going to give you any techniques per se, but we're just going to have a conversation about what modern off-grid living really is and why people treat it as being weird. So, what does it really mean to live off-grid? Well, society would have you believe that anybody who has the desire to live off-grid is the absolute fringe of society. They're almost hermits. They, you know, actually, supposedly, and I haven't verified this, and I don't know how to verify this, if you talk about or pursue off-grid living, then all of a sudden you're on a FBI list of suspected domestic terrorists, which, now, don't freak out about that. Let's just be honest. At one time, if you had a Ron Paul bumper sticker, they considered you a possible domestic terrorist. That's documented. Now, they had to change their stance on that, but that's just the truth. You know, if you follow the recommendation of the CDC and have 10 days food and water, that's enough for some of them to classify you as a possible domestic terrorist. Okay, so that's nuts. At this point, if you're not on some kind of watch list, you're not doing something. So I wouldn't sweat that at all. So before we get into the off-grid living, we actually have to establish what is living on the grid. Now, you may think, oh, that's simple. Well, actually, it's fairly complex. You can give a simple answer for it, but as you dig down, you find out that there's a lot of little complexities there. Living on grid is simply being reliant on all of the current systems of support. So when I say that, you're going, what's a system of support? Well, current systems of support that we see in most of the industrialized world includes things like the electrical grid, communications grid, the banking system, the food system, the medical system, cable networks. I mean, you can just go ad nauseum in this and can just keep going. A person that is 100% on grid depends on someone else for everything in their lives. The ultimate example of a person that's 100% on grid, not necessarily at any fault of their own, is a person who's been severely disabled and cannot work, or someone who's on the welfare system. This person, like it or not, no judgment here, they get paid based on the efforts of others. They spend that money in the system. They are reliant completely on everything. The sum totality of their existence is dependent on the government's ability to either extract or print money to give to them so they can purchase everything that they need. Once again, no judgment. I know some folks that are honest to God, disabled, that, you know, I would prefer that the systems of support be created in the private sector, that they not confiscate my money, that I be able to give my money to the people that I know that have the true need, but we're not in that system. So that's just a very good example. Even a person who works really hard and every day can be 100% on grid. Here's an example. My primary job is dependent upon people spending money with a certain company. I earn that money, but if the company isn't doing well, if it's not making enough profit to merit my position, I wouldn't be there very long. When I'm paid my wages, there are responsibilities that I have to take care of and bills that absolutely must be paid. The electric bill, the phone bill, the garbage bill, you know, you get the picture. Most of our income has been marked for a specific purpose, and that purpose, for the most part, is non-negotiable under the current system. Most people are on the grid at least to some level. Yes, there are some folks out there that, you know, they live in the woods, they don't have electricity, they don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do this. But even the Amish, which are kind of the epitome of off-grid living, you know, they trade their goods to people who are on grid, therefore they are at least partially on the grid. So when we say beyond off-grid, we're talking about limiting the number of systems that we rely on. Now, I'll be honest with you, the Amish, if the grid went away tomorrow, the only difference they would know is that there wouldn't be as much medical help when they have to use it. And if you treat yourself herbals, then, you know, you're not going to use the medical system very often anyway. I mean, there's, you know, broken bones and things like that. But you've really kind of limited how much of an impact the outside world has on you by choice. We're on the grid. I admit it. Not going to say that I'm not. But we are working towards being more off-grid. Being more independent, if you wish. The grid's not just about electricity. Oh, yeah, it's the first thing we think about. And when somebody says that word or phrase or whatever, you wouldn't be listening to this or reading my blog post if it weren't for the grid. And I mean actually several of them. The electricity to power our devices. The internet to connect these devices. There are folks out there that are listening to this in a different language because somewhere there's a system that will actually translate my blog post into another language. That's a system. That's a system of support. So you kind of get the idea. When you look around and you decide that some of the systems of support that we rely on each and every day are kind of fragile, you may wish to limit your dependence on those systems. To some degree, and in some areas, this is fine. Just don't try to do so in a subdivision or a community with an HOA. Most people just aren't comfortable with someone who doesn't fit their expectations. Oh, we as a society claim that we're tolerant, but we're really not. We will begrudgingly accept all kinds of behavior as long as it doesn't make us feel too uncomfortable or force us to evaluate ourselves. There are several examples, and I'll let you figure those out for yourself. If you're reading this, you're most likely a thinker anyway. But have you ever been in a conversation, especially with teenagers? God, I love teenagers just because their view of the world is so limited. My daughter is in band at high school, and we went to a band competition. And I love them, I love them, I love them. Band people are nerds. I'm a nerd too, that's okay. I'm bad, bad, bad nerd, according to my wife. Well, they had a t-shirt made up to support the band, and my wife, of course, got one, and I was wearing it that day. And a teenage boy said, "Oh, you're a fan." And I'm like, "A fan of what?" And he's like, "Of this TV show." I'm like, "No, dude, I'm sorry, I don't watch TV." And when I said, "I don't watch TV," about 10 teenagers turned and looked at me. And you would have thought they were looking at a puppy-eating Martian zombie. I mean, it just, "You don't watch TV? Oh my God." And, oh Lord. I'm like, "No, I don't, you know." Now, don't get me wrong. When my wife's there, if she wants to watch something, I'll sit beside her. Occasionally, we'll watch a movie. But, you know, it's not important to me at all. If my wife's not at home, it's never turned on. So, when you start moving away from the systems of support, you're going to run into all kind of roadblocks. There are cities and communities where clotheslines are illegal. That just blew my mind when I found that out. There are a lot of places where rules or laws prevent people from having a garden or chickens or rabbits. Not far from where I am, it's illegal to have a home that's not hooked up to the electrical grid, to the water. There are towns where it's illegal not to be hooked up to sewer. All of these laws, regulations, and rules, they claim are for our own safety or to ensure the continuity of the community. But are they really? I'm going to make a reference here to The Matrix. And I've watched parts and pieces of it. I've not watched it all the way through. The concept behind The Matrix is that computers took over the world. and they continue to allow humans to exist, but humans are all in these little containers in this goop, and they're using the humans as batteries to power their computers. The system needs its batteries, and we are those batteries. The system wants everything you do to be something that feeds it. When you're working towards being off-grid, you're working towards uncoupling yourself from this system. And from the viewpoint of the system, that's dangerous. Oh, if one person unplugs, it's not a horrible deal. But it's never just one person. Every time someone decides that they no longer wish to participate, there's a voltage drop. Now, that's figuratively. There's a decrease in consumption. There's a decrease in the velocity of money, how quickly money passes through the system. When too many batteries withdraw themselves from a system, a section in the machine shuts down. Oh, we can't have that. So participation becomes compulsory. In the little town we live in, if you have city water, you have to pay for sewer. It doesn't matter if you're not hooked up to sewer, you still have to pay for it anyway. If you don't want to pay for sewer, you have to be completely on well water and not be hooked to their system at all. It's a lot bigger expense to have a well drilled, build a pump house, buy the pump, have the water tested, and everything that you have to do in order to be on well. So they made it cost prohibitive for somebody to be completely off to that system. Now, there are folks that are off that system, and that's one of the systems that's next on my list, because we actually have a well on our property, and I've had the water tested already, and it meets their qualifications. Actually, it's cleaner than the city's water after they've processed it. So, but by doing that, by making it cost prohibitive, they've prevented a bunch of people from leaving that system. It's easier to pay a little each month to a system than to have to spend a whole bunch up front and then never have to pay them again. We've gotten to the point where we're in a payment society. When you go look at buying a new car, they, unless you force them to or unless you look for it, they will never tell you the purchase price of the car. They're going to tell you the expected monthly payment. Okay? We've allowed this to happen, but that's just the way it is. Electricity in our area is even worse. If you have an electrical system, you must be either completely tied to the electrical grid or face a substantial price increase on any energy used. Now, okay, let me explain. If you're completely off the grid and not hooked up to it anyway at all, that's fine. If you have solar power and you're backfeeding the system, that's fine. I can't say anything about that, because the federal government mandated that if I produce power through small-scale hydro or electric or solar, that they have to buy it back. But you're not allowed to have storage ability. So if, for example, if I put solar panels on the south side of my house, because I'm in the northern hemisphere, and I had a 10 battery storage system, but I was still hooked to the grid, but none of my energy that I generated went onto the grid until all of my batteries were topped off. That's unacceptable. Do away with the batteries?
it's fine. So even if I have solar panels on my roof, in order to follow their restrictions, if the power goes out, even though I have $15,000 worth of solar panels on my roof, I'm just as out of power as everybody else, unless it's a bright sunny day. So we've got a community, it's probably, I don't know, 10 miles from the house, which is a voluntary association community, and it's, you know, some of them are hippies, some of them are not. One was actually an engineer for Boeing, but it's a sustainable community. And some of the people, they generate their own power, but they have the electrical grid as supplemental power. Now, in order to do that, they have to allow the power company to come and inspect all their equipment. If there's a rules change, they can come inspect their equipment. They can unhook their power anytime that they want to. Okay? So right there, you already have an invasion. And electrical rates are pretty cheap here. We pay 8.4 cents for 750 kilowatt hours. Now, if we had an alternative energy system and only used the grid when needed, that cost would go up to $5 per 750 kilowatt hours. And you can't buy it in smaller blocks. So if you went to 751 kilowatt hours, that's another $5. You know, that's just uncool. But that's the way the system is set up. And I don't know about you, but I don't have $20,000 to install a solar energy system with the storage capacity to be able to replace all of the energy that we use from the grid. Now, as the kids get older and they start moving out, then our consumption will go down. Therefore, the cost of producing all of our electricity will go down as well. So, it is a goal of mine, but it's just not realistic right now. Little Caesar's Pizza. And I don't know if they're national or not. I don't have any idea. They have a commercial. Somebody sent it to me. Where guy gets frustrated, says, "That's it, we're going off the grid." And then the next frame, they show them all dirty, nasty, nappy, in this dumpy little place with nothing. That's the way society looks at off-gridders, people who are off-grid. And that just drives me crazy. Because they perpetrate a myth on purpose. Well, if you're going to try to stop something, if you're the society and you're going to try to stop something, how do you do it? Well, the first thing you do is ignore it. If I ignore it, maybe it'll go away. Well, if you ignore it and then it continues to grow, then you ridicule it. You make fun of it. You throw commercials. You make TV shows that makes everybody look like they're nuts. You do all of these things. Okay? Next step is you demonize it. We're already starting to see some of that. You know, remember the FBI's watch list? Okay? Preppers, off-gridders, certain degrees of homesteaders were being demonized. I mean, dear Lord, Monsanto has started spending money advertising. They've never had to do that in their life, you know, in their existence. They've always just raked the money in because they were the big dog. Well, now, due to people like me and countries all around the world going, you know what? this stinks. They've started having to start a PR campaign. Not only that, but they've hired people to go on social media and make comments and all of this stuff. And whenever I run into a pro-Monsanto person, I only have to say two words. And they shut up with me. Anniston, Alabama. Now, I'm not going to go into it in any detail, but if you want to look it up, just search Monsanto, Anniston, Alabama, and you'll find it out. Well, if demonizing doesn't work, and it's still growing, then they regulate it. Well, if regulation doesn't work, then they make it unlawful. Sometimes those are actually reversed, because they'll make something unlawful and then people go about doing it anyway, and they go, well, if we can't make it unlawful, let's regulate it. But those are going to be the stages. So, what are they so afraid of? Well, our economic system requires a constant expansion of inputs. If a company makes the exact same amount of money this year as it did last year, even if they have the exact same amount of expenses, their stock will plunge. There has to be a constant increase in production and spending and sales. There has to be a constant expansion for there to be prosperity under the current economic paradigm. Now, the reason that is because, you know, we're under a, we'll call it a fiat-based monetary system. It's actually a debt-based system, to where if you just have the same number of expenses, the same amount of income, the same everything, you're paying off debt. When you pay off debt, the monetary system contracts because they no longer have this asset on their books, which is your hide. Now, you know, when one person does it, it's not a horrible deal. I've already said that. But if one person does it and they succeed, they're happier, they're healthier, they're not experiencing, you know, their house isn't burning down, and they just have a better quality of life. They're not as stressed. Then somebody else is going to try it. Say 10 more people will try it based on that one person. All right? Well, some of them are going to fail. Some of them are going to succeed. Let's say that 70% fail, but 30% succeed. Well, for those 3 out of the 10 that succeed, 10 more people are going to try. And then each one of those will have a 30% success rate. And then more will try, and then more will try, and it becomes exponential. That's a problem. So, what is being off-grid really? Being off-grid is like so many other things. It should be measured in stages. You can be on the electrical grid, but not on waste management grid. You take care of your own garbage. You're not paying a monthly bill to a company to go get the stuff that you throw away. You know, you start using less plastic. The paper that you do use, you compost. You start using less steel cans. You start canning yourself. You're using glass jars. You know, you when you do have something that has to be thrown away, you throw it in a trailer or in the back of the truck, and you take it to the dump, and you pay, you know, so much a ton to be able to get rid of it, so you don't have that monthly expense. All right? That's a step, a stage of being off-grid. You know, you may start with, actually probably the easiest thing for most people is cable. You go, you know what? We don't watch enough television. We did this. We don't watch enough television to merit cable. We cut it off. That saved us some money every single month. That's one system that we've eliminated from our lives. Oh, we get stuff every now and then, you know. Come, but we want you back. Special introductory offer. Okay. But, you know, we still have the internet. Or else you wouldn't be hearing me. And everything that my wife wants to watch, she can get through Netflix or Hulu or even through the individual network station, and she can watch it. Well, what about the news? Man, I get all my news from Twitter or like a little weather app from a local station. I don't need anything else. I don't want their input into what I should think is important. You know, water will be the next step. It's a general progression. Learning herbals, you're decreasing your reliance on existing systems. Okay, so we understand now what being on-grid is. We understand what working towards being off-grid is. We understand why they're so nuts about trying to stop people from going off-grid. Why should you consider going off-grid? Well, the number one for me is it's less stress. It really is. We have, for the most part, all of the same luxuries that we want that everybody else has. Even once we change over to well water completely, we'll be able to flush our toilets. We'll be able to cook. We'll be able to clean. We'll be able to run the clothes washer. We'll be able to do everything that everybody else does. But we have one less monthly bill.
Yeah, but you got to think about the increase in electricity.
I understand. But the increase in electricity to run a well pump is nowhere near the cost of being tied to the grid. I have complete control over it. Because let's just be honest, if my well gets contaminated, the city's water's contaminated too. Cable goes out, I don't care. If you've got you a alternative energy system, power goes out, you don't care. It's also less intrusion into your life. We've got a newsletter. And if you've not signed up for the newsletter, go to the Rural Economist and sign up for the newsletter. I'll let you know everything that's happening. But there's certain email servers that block my newsletter. They mark it as spam. Spam. Why do they do that? I mean, I send out an email once a week. And that's pretty much it, unless I forgot something. I did that about a month ago. And when I forget something in my newsletter, I send it back, and normally the subject is, I forgot something. Kind of honest like that. But there's certain email servers that block what I send. Okay, great. Well, if I were the only one, I'd go, well, it's a fluke, but I'm not. I've heard other bloggers and podcasters say, yeah, this whole system's throwing us right straight into spam. People don't like anything that's unusual. When I start talking about self-reliance and oh Lord, don't get me started on the government. Either side. When I start talking about my principles, what I believe, why I believe, how I believe, my goals, it's so foreign to a lot of people's thought processes that they really do look at you like a puppy-eating Martian zombie. I mean, you are just the weirdest, most creepy thing that the world has ever seen because I don't know, you don't watch Pretty Little Liars. I don't know why that came to mind. I've never watched a single second of it, but I think one of the teenage kids does or something. You can make a difference in your own life. And here's the thing. When you start weaning yourself off the systems of support, if something does happen, you don't care. And when you succeed, other people will see you succeed. And you can affect change. And you don't have to have a specific political opinion or be on any side or anything. You've just got to take responsibility for yourself, for your family. Personal responsibility is the big deal.
Ron Finley, the guerrilla gardener from South Central LA. I don't know what his political opinion is, and you know what? I don't care. But he made a statement that we're in a society that growing your own food, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have it in front of me, growing your own food is a singular act of rebellion. The most radical act of rebellion, and you get strawberries. He has taken South Central LA and he started helping people get off of the food system. He started helping people have more nutritious food where they're not as reliant on the system. Got a lot of respect for him. A lot of respect for him. If he can move people off of a destructive system in the middle of South Central Los Angeles, there's no reason that we can't start moving ourselves off the systems of support so we can be more independent, where we're not as reliant on everything and everybody out there. If this is something that you're interested in, go to the blog, theruraleconomist.com. You can sign up for the Beyond Off-Grid Online Summit. It starts November 9th. If not, that's fine. Absolutely fine. Okay? This is Greg Carter. I hope you enjoyed this. This is episode number 13. I would love to hear your opinions. I would love to have your questions. We're building, we're growing, we're doing, we're getting out there and trying to get things done, okay? You can send questions, comments, gripes, moans, or groans to theruraleconomist@gmail.com. Promise I'll get back to you. I look forward to hearing from you. If you enjoyed this, share it. Share it with somebody. Rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. That'll help us a bunch. Okay? Step by step, we're bringing rural back. You have a great day. Bye.